I invite you to turn to the Gospel by Luke, chapter 5. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. If you noticed in the bulletin, I plan on starting the Wednesday morning Bible class on, I think it's the third Wednesday of September. It's at 10 a.m. September 21st. And we're studying together the life of David, and we're going to be beginning this year at 2 Samuel 7. We've been studying it last year, and we're down to 2 Samuel chapter 7, the great covenant that God made with David. To me, it's a highlight of this study of David, and it's the part that the Word of God calls the sure mercies of David in Isaiah 55, and again, it's quoted in Acts chapter 13. We want to continue tonight in our study of that illustrious character, Simon Peter. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Peter answered and said unto him, Master, we toiled all night and have caught nothing, taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fish that they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. O God, our Father, we praise you tonight for this man, Peter. We learn so many lessons, not only concerning our own lives and your dealings with us when we study the characters of Scripture, but we learn so much about you and your ways of teaching your people. And we pray that our time together tonight will not disappoint anyone, but that we'll leave tonight rejoicing in the knowledge that we have of thee and especially of your ways with us. We praise thee for who thou art. Grant our God that we may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray giving you thanks in his worthy name. Amen. As we consider Simon Peter tonight, you know I mentioned last Sunday night that there were three times in the gospel accounts that our Lord called Peter. We examined the first one last Sunday night, which gives us the first ministry that our Lord had, his earliest ministry that he performed. It takes us to the early part of the life of our Lord. Now, Peter learned a great lesson when the Lord first called him. In that first call that we looked at last Sunday night from Dunn's Gospel, chapter 1, he learned from his brother Andrew that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the anointed of God. And you remember last week I mentioned there are five things that that word Messiah meant to a Jew. It meant that he's both God and man. It meant that he's a suffering servant. But it also meant that he's a glorious king and that he is the Savior of the world. Well, tonight we have a more formal call that our Lord gives to Peter. And in this more formal call that he gives to Peter tonight, our Lord is teaching Peter the importance of living
one day at a time. And to live one day at a time is all that any of us can do. In fact, the best we can do is live one moment at a time. But you know, before we can learn that lesson from the Lord, what it means to live one day at a time, we have to pass a test. And our Lord gives Peter a test here in this great chapter, in Luke chapter 5. And to pass this test, we have to take an inventory by asking ourselves questions that automatically come to the surface when you read this portion of the Word of God. Question number one, how do you respond to disappointment? How do you react to disappointment? You know, Peter said to the Lord, Master, we toiled all night and have caught nothing. Now, there are some Christians who would tell us that failure should never be part of our lives, and it never should be in our thinking. If we pray, if we, you know, you do the right things, you pray, you read your Bible, and you give your money, of course, then everything will be just great. But you know, I'm one of those characters who doesn't believe that, for I read Christian biography, and I read my Bible. And when I read my Bible and Christian biographies, I learn something. I learn that great Christians fail. The people in the Bible failed. Abraham failed. David failed. David was disappointed a number of times. And like Peter, I ask the question, how do you respond to disappointment? That's very important. Well, the question can be asked, how did Peter respond? Well, what do we find? In verse 2, we find them washing their nets. Why were they doing that? To go back out. Did you ever wonder why the Lord called fishermen as his disciples? I'll tell you why. Fishermen don't quit. Fishermen just don't quit, you see. Fishermen know how to work. And fishermen know how to work together. And our Lord called fishermen. Why? Because they're patient, they're courageous, they keep at it till they get the job done. I remember Tom Taylor, when he was with us the first time back in Ireland Street Chapel, when the first time you heard him, he made a statement that night about how he likes to fish. He said he could sit by a tub filled with water in the backyard and hold his pole out over it. That's how he likes it. He likes to fish that much. Fishermen know how to get the job done. Well, Tom, it can be very vivid, you know, in his ability to paint word pictures for us. But the work of God is accomplished by people who know how to plod, who know how to plod on. Oh, it's fine, friends, to mount up as eagles and to run and not be weary. But the job is done by those who have learned to walk and not faint. Now, Peter could have given up. But he wasn't mending, he was mending his net. He wasn't selling his net. You know, if that would have been me, I would have had a big sign up. You know, I would have had a sign out, dock sale, boats, nets, fishing gear, cheap. But not Peter. No, Peter was a fisherman. And fishermen don't quit. Now, he could have made a lot of excuses. You know, he could have made a lot of excuses. There's so many boats on this lake. And then there's so much competition. And John and James are partners with me in this business. And they're always flying off the handle. You remember John had a pretty good temper. And our son named him one day because of their temper. Shall we call fire down from heaven and destroy those who wouldn't listen to us? But you know, when you read this text, how do you respond to disappointment? How did Peter respond? Peter didn't respond by blaming God. He didn't blame the competition, and he didn't blame his partners. And the strangest thing, Peter was close to the biggest catch of fish he ever made in his whole life. You see, it's twice in Peter's life that he had great catches of fish. This is number one. You see, Peter was just about an hour away from great success. By the way, do you know the distance between success and failure? It's the width of a boat. See, in John 21, the second time that he had a catch of fish, our Lord appeared to him. He had to say, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. The Lord said, cast the net on the other side of the ship. And when he did, they had a catch. And you remember how many were in the net? They were counted. John chapter 21, 153. Fish in the net. Christian, how do you respond to discouragement? You don't know how close you are to success. God would have us not be quitters, but to plod on. God called fishermen. How do you respond to success? But there's a second test that we have to apply that's in the text here. How do you respond to authority? How do you respond to authority? You know, the Lord Jesus got into Peter's boat and he took over. Oh boy, there are people like this. Ever meet them? No matter what you have planned, when they show up, they just take over. And boy, we don't like that, do we? How did Peter respond to authority? Our Lord started giving a lot of orders to Peter. Thrust out a little from the land, verse 3. Launch out into the deep, verse 4. Let down the nets for a draught, verse 4. Boy, he's giving all the orders here. You see, our Lord took command of Peter's boat to use it for a pulpit to teach the people. Then he took command of the nets. He told the fishermen what to do so that he could tell the fish what to do. Our God is sovereign. He's sovereign over all things. How do you respond to authority? Now the Lord Jesus comes with authority to us. The Word of God is authoritative. How do we respond? You see, there are three things you can do. You can reject authority. I'll do my own thing. Or you can resist authority. You know, you can submit under pressure. I'll do it, but it's under protest. You know, I've seen people try to do the work of God that way. Or a third, you can submit to authority. Peter said, nevertheless, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, we'll let down the nets. You see, now the basic principle is this. No one has right to exercise authority who is not under authority. The Word of God is very clear about this. If I'm going to exercise authority, but I'm not under authority, I'm not a leader, I'm a dictator. Parents over children are under authority to God. Elders in a congregation of God's people are under shepherds to the chief shepherd of the sheep. Now, Peter could have a real problem here with authority. He could look at Jesus and say, you're a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. Now, when it comes to catching fish, I am the one who's the expert. If I need my boat mended, now I can get you to mend my boat. You're a carpenter. But I'm a fisherman.
You see,
Peter could have said to him, you know, you don't catch fish on this lake in the daytime in deep water. You catch the fish at nighttime in shallow water. And you know, friends,
when you consider this thought, how do you respond to authority?
Our experience that we claim that we have might be the biggest obstacle to our biggest blessing. Peter submitted to the authority of the Lord. You know, you find some great statements in graffiti that's sometimes written on walls. This graffiti that was found, all authority destroys creativity. All authority destroys creativity. You see, that's the rule that's practiced in our public schools today. Do it whatever you please, be creative. So the kids don't learn how to make change. They don't learn how to spell. They don't learn how to read. And they don't learn a lot of other things. They're so creative, you know. But the best way to be creative, friends, is to put yourself under authority. If you're going to learn to play the piano, you've got to put yourself under the authority of the teacher. You don't tell the teacher what to do. Furthermore, it's okay to break the rules of playing the piano once the rules have broken you. You have to let them break you before you break them. You see, creativity is released when we submit to authority. Peter said to the Lord, nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down the nets. So Peter passed the first two questions that arise in the text very easily. How do you respond to disappointment? And how do you respond to authority? But you know, there's a third question that can be taken out of text, and it's a very simple one. How do you respond to success? How do you respond to success? You see, the other fishermen were on shore washing and mending their nets. And they must have been amazed when they saw Peter go out into the deep water in daytime. And we're living in a day when we're so afraid of what somebody else says. We're so afraid to run contrary to the tide. How do you respond to success? You see, there was a great result here because of Peter's submission to authority. There's a great catch. The nets broke, and the boats begin to sink. You see, how you respond to success depends how you respond to criticism and failure. My friend Irvin Lutzer of Moody Church, he wrote a book called Failure, The Back Door to Success. And often that is true. Do you have a rough time with criticism? Do you have a rough time with it? Now, we all need constructive criticism. But that other kind, how do you respond to it? You know that sanctified critic. How do you respond to that person? You know, Spurgeon got a letter every Monday morning. And every grammatical error he made, every little mistake that he made in his preaching, this critic wrote to him and let him know it. You know what Spurgeon's response was? He said, that person did me a lot of good. I don't know who it was, but I thank God for that person. What did Peter do? What did Peter do? Well, Peter responded all right. He helped his friends. He shared his success. He called them over. There were other boats, and he called them over to him. You see, some people, when they succeed a little bit, they build a fence around it. And they let you know, this is my territory. They build a fence around their success. But I'll tell you this. If success makes a person selfish, God will see that they're not successful. What did Peter do? Peter humbled himself before the Lord. He humbled himself before the Lord. You see, this success was contrary to the experts on the shore. It was contrary to that. If this were me, you see, that I had such success as Peter did, I'd probably start a seminar on how to catch fish.
That's the way we act today. You'd be surprised at how much mail comes to the church on seminars. Seminars for this and a seminar for that. If people went to every seminar, our meeting would be a lot smaller than it is now. There's one seminar they don't have. How to know God better. Don't have a seminar on that. And if there's anything the church needs, it's a seminar on how to know God. That's the one that we need. You see, Peter used this incident of success not to inflate himself, but to glorify God. You see, if success inflates you, criticism will crush you. If you're the kind of a person that's inflated by success, criticism will crush you. But if success humbles you, criticism will build you up. It's going to edify you. Now, we often criticize Peter, don't we? It's like someone said this afternoon in my home, quoting somebody else. They said about this person who said, the only time he ever got his foot out of his mouth is when he changed feet. And Peter is one of these fellows who often has his foot in his mouth. Like me, he's talking when he should be listening. Oh, we often criticize Peter, but I'll tell you this about Peter. Anyone who can be humbled by success and say to the Lord, why me? I'm not worthy. And basically that's what Peter said. He said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. He recognized that he was in the presence of divine holiness. He was in the presence of the sovereign God of the universe, who knows where the fish are. How do you respond to success? Do you get out of bed in the morning and look in the mirror and say, people are so lucky to know me? Is that what you say? How do you respond to disappointment and failure? Do you keep on going? Are you a quitter? You know, we're living in a day in the church. If there's someone we don't like, we just don't listen to them. We make excuses to be somewhere else. It's not the word of God that's important. It's someone. It's a personality. How do you handle success? Success. Can you really handle it? Has your academic achievement so changed you that people can't be around you? You see, the mark of Bible study is not a big head. The mark of Bible study is a burning heart. When Daniel understood by books the program of God, that the captivity was only 70 years long and that it was just about over, what did he do? He humbled himself before God and he prayed. And then God gave him that great vision of the 70 weeks of years that you have in Daniel chapter 9. So, today, we're living in a day that if somebody thinks they gotta have understand a little bit about God's prophetic program, they write a book and have a big chart.
the burning heart. How do you respond to success? Finally, number four. There's a fourth lesson here. How do you respond to the future? Oh, you may say, boy, now that's a crazy question. But I think it's a very important question. It's a most important question. Are you afraid of the future? You know, a lot of people are. They're afraid of the future. Do you wish things were like they were just a few years ago, you know, the good old days? Someone has written, backward, turn backward, O time in your flight. Make me a child again just for tonight. I don't want to grow. We can't grow and be afraid of the future. If we're going to grow, we can't be afraid of the future. Is the future your enemy? You see, we're living in a day when multitudes of people depend on horoscopes. And the Word of God declares that these are wicked things. You know, I'm not interested in anyone who can tell me my future. I don't want to know it. I don't want to know my future. See, Joseph Parker, that great preacher in London, he wrote this. He says, God holds the key to all unknown, and I am glad. If other hands, or if he trusted it to me, I would be sad. I'm glad my future doesn't depend on me. My future depends on the Lord. You see, when you read verse 10 that we read tonight, they got back on shore. And the end of the verse, Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men. Don't be afraid, was his message to Peter. Now, he could look Peter in the eye and say, Peter, you can handle disappointment. Peter, you can handle authority. Peter, you can handle success. Now I want you to follow me. Now I want you to follow me. I can use you. And the last verse we read, they forsook all and followed him. But you know, someone could have come running up to Peter and said in his ear, you know, Peter, you don't know what you're doing. You know that if you follow him, you're going to be crucified. Peter, he's going to be crucified too. Peter, if you follow him, you're going to be thrown into jail. You're going to be thrown into prison. You know, during Peter's training period, he had many lapses. He made quite a few mistakes. But there's one thing Peter did. He looked at the future and he was unafraid. You see, the future is your friend if Jesus is your Lord. The future is your friend if Jesus is your Lord. You see, the Lord Jesus began this exercise with Peter. He's training him for the future. He's teaching Peter that he can be trusted. You see, he's teaching Peter on this instance that he can be trusted on calm water in the daytime. And then when I get over to Luke chapter 8, he teaches Peter that he can be trusted in the boat, at night, in a storm when he's asleep. Teaches him that lesson. And then when I get over to Matthew chapter 14, he has another lesson for him. He teaches Peter that he can be trusted at nighttime, in the midst of a storm outside the boat. He can be trusted outside the boat. You see, the waves were the very staircase of the Lord. As the Lord approached the disciples in the midst of the sea, toiling and rowing. So Peter could write In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. And the eyes of the Lord were upon the disciples. He saw them, the scripture says, toiling and rowing. The winds were contrary. You see, God brings us into a crisis situation to knock out all the props that would keep us from trusting him. See, if there's sunshine, he'll make it dark. If you're in the boat, he can take you out of the boat. That's what he did with Peter. He took him out of the boat. He wants to teach us something about himself that I never knew before, and something about ourselves also. That's what enabled Peter to write at the close of his first epistle in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So that brings us to application number one tonight. How do you respond, by the way, to disappointment? How do you respond to authority? How do you respond to success? How do you respond to the future? Have you made plans that if A fails, plan B will come into effect? Plan B fails, plan C is always there. See, God did the same thing to Jacob in Genesis chapter 32 that he did to Peter. Application number one. Be careful of becoming a comfortable Christian. Be careful about becoming a comfortable Christian. Because comfortable Christians do not become conformable Christians. We have so many comfortable Christians today. But conformable Christians are few to find. Conformed to the Word of God. You see, comfortable Christians stay at the same level. They never grow. Oh, they may pretend to be growing, but in reality they're not. Application number two. God calls us to follow him. Peter wrote in his second epistle, the last verse, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And beloved, you will never grow unless you go. And you will never go unless you forsake all and follow him. So we ask the questions, how do you respond to disappointment? How do you respond to authority? How do you respond to success? How do you respond to the future? You know, Peter, the Lord could say, Peter, you've passed the test well. Follow me. Follow me. By the way, we could make this application number three. How did you pass the test? Have you taken inventory tonight? Whether we like it or not, we have to take inventory. It's very, very important. Now let's pray together. Father, we do thank you tonight for the infinite riches of your grace. We thank you for your kindness and your love. We thank you for your call. We thank you that we can learn of Peter's response as we look at it. And we can ask ourselves these same questions. We're very much like Peter, at least I am. And you know me better than anyone else does. And Father, help each of us to forsake all and follow thee. We sang together tonight, O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee. For thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne.